This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yi. Today is our Mind Matters series where we discuss issues related to mental health. And today we're focusing on workplace mental health and how employers have a role to play in helping employees to achieve better mental well-being, to be able to manage when there are mental health issues, and how there really are no quick fixes when it comes to managing your and supporting your employees in terms of their mental health issues. And, you know, this is nothing new. It's not just the pandemic, but for years now, the high pressure and the rapid pace of the modern workplace has really taken a toll on our mental well-being. But of course, in the last year and a half, the pandemic has only caused further stress to us all. So it has been, I guess, a little, employees have been waiting for it, but the good news is that employers are beginning to realize the importance of mental health in the workplace. But I guess the question now is, what kind of workplace policies can be put in place? What kinds of programs would be most effective for employees and employers alike? So that's what I would like to explore today. And, focusing on what is this thing called employee assistance programs? What do they look like? How they can help? And my guests today are Liana Mohammad Nawi, clinical psychologist and director of professional services from Thrive Well, as well as Zhong Jingjing, managing director of HelpLink Singapore. And I'll be getting Jingjing to just explain a little bit about what HelpLink does, and for them both to provide their unique perspectives of how they deal with mental health issues, and especially what employers can do in the workplace. How are the both of you today?
Great, Shelly. Thank you.
Good.
All right. So our lines are open for you to call in if you have either questions for our guests or experiences that you'd like to share when it comes to your own workplace experience related to mental health issues. So do call us at 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Just very quickly, Jingjing, HelpLink Singapore, so that we can understand, I guess, what kind of a workplace it is and how we can relate to what you guys are doing.
Sure. So HelpLink is founded back in, I think, 2015 or 2014 in Germany. And then since then, we have expanded to, I believe 12 different countries. So Singapore is the headquarter of APAC. So we're operating in Singapore and Australia. And we have a huge support team in working out from Malaysia. So the Malaysia team mainly is in charge of customer experience, so customer service. So HelpLink is a platform for home services. So you can imagine booking a handyman, aircon technicians, or part-time maid cleaners to do your housework. So as you can see, it's a B2C platform. So we, on a day-to-day basis, we get a lot of feedback from customers, whether good or bad. So our team in Malaysia handles, all the positive feedback, of course, also negative feedback. So that kind of, because nowadays our volume is quite big because, due to COVID, so a lot of customers are quite stressed, especially when they're working from home.
All right.
So house chores has created a lot of stress in the household, and sometimes they pass this kind of negativity to our employees in Malaysia. So that's when I start noticing about our employees' mental health.
Okay, so later on as we go along, we can talk about, that is the main dynamic in terms of the work that your employees take on, if mm-hmm. we're talking about the KL office, and how a support system, you as the employer needs to be able to look at that and help your employees manage their stress, right? But Liana, let's take it generally, not just related to the pandemic, but what are generally the most common mental health issues that you would typically see in workplaces, looking across the different kinds of industries that we have as well?
Right. So generally, we've kind of seen a lot of burnout cases
and of course, work-related kind of stress cases. And we've seen like increases in depression and anxiety as well among workplaces. Sometimes we do also see cases of harassment on even bullying. On a personal level, however, there are also cases related to health, as well as family and relationship issues. So generally, this is typically what we've seen in the past few years.
Mm. And how has the pandemic then exacerbated those issues?
Right. So ever since the pandemic started, so as I mentioned earlier, because we've seen cases of depression and anxiety, so we've seen higher rates of that. We've also seen more and more trauma and kind of sleep disorder symptoms as well. And most recently, based on the news, we've seen a lot of deaths related to COVID-19. So we've been getting quite a number of cases relating to grief, which are particularly related to COVID deaths. So this is a thing that we've currently seen the past few months.
When you say grief related to COVID deaths, are they necessarily people who have had perhaps loved ones who've succumbed to COVID? Or could this grief also be experienced by people who may only be indirectly dealing with the news of death, but, you know, we are all grieving in some way, I suppose. Yeah.
Yes. So it's actually on a wider level, much wider level. I agree with what you say. It's not just direct losses that we deal with COVID deaths. But we also see cases of grief related to indirectly impacted, for example. So that is also something which we really should look out for, especially in the next coming months.
Jingjing, what about your experience with your employees? And I guess looking at the Malaysia office would be most relevant for our listeners. And, you know, what we are going through with the pandemic right now is vastly different from Singapore, for instance. What are you hearing from the folks in the KL office?
Yeah, I think it's pretty similar as what Liana was saying. We did have a few employees who are suffering from grief. And then we also have employees because of working from home, and some of them have many kids at home. So that puts a lot of pressure in between their relationship with their husband. So we do have a few cases where employees are, were in the process of divorcing. I think mostly like a civil tension within the household, that's what we've seen the most.
Are employees usually aware that they're going through these kinds of challenges, Jingjing? Or does it usually have to come to a sort of tipping point before, you know, that realization comes?
So from what I understood is that before, employees, they only know that they're going through a hard time, but they weren't really sure what exactly is affecting them the most on the emotional level. So they tend to come to us and then tell us that, hey, I have this situation, I need to take MC. And then you can tell that the whole team's morale is quite low when they're going through this kind of situation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. And Liana, I guess this has been part of the conversation for quite a while now, along with the awareness of the importance of mental health. The fact that there is an impact when employees or individuals' mental health is affected, there is an impact on, as Jingjing said, the team morale, as well as the overall company's well-being. But perhaps you could further break that down for us from the perspective of someone who has been engaging with companies. If you were to try to convince an organization, for instance, that they need to pay attention to mental health, what would you tell them?
I would say, that's actually quite a big topic there. I would say to probably start with a needs assessment. What that means is like, I think they need to kind of be clear or do a bit more of research or survey within the company to kind of, you know, see what is their employees' understanding of mental health, whether they are ready to access these kind of services. And if, let's say, further work is needed, then that's where I think the talks and webinars can come in for a start. to do a bit of that advocacy with regards to mental health. And then based on that talks and webinars, then only we can try and, you know, to kind of propose to move further on with the employee assistance program. So there needs to be a bit of groundwork to be done before we would actually move on to the real EAP program.
But, you know, that's assuming that the at the management level, you already have buy-in from them. What if there isn't buy-in yet? You know, how do you convince an employer who just doesn't think that they need to provide support for their employees' mental health?
Right. I think with management, probably one of their main concerns would be, of course, the bottom line, the financials at the end of the day. Yeah. So I think it's kind of good. So when we do start having that exploratory meetings with them, maybe we could, you know, share a little bit, you know, on what mental health is causing, can cause. So, for example, we've seen in the, so I think, okay, just to share. So in a study conducted in 2018, there were, you know, there's like three main causes that actually impacts the ROI. So these are absenteeism, presenteeism, and and burnout. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, presenteeism. Yeah, and burnout. Yeah. So it was affecting, I think it cost the industry about 14.4 billion. You know, however, just to take note that this is a study conducted in 2018. So, you know, I think, you know, based on this pandemic and everything, I'm sure the number would be much, much bigger. So when we present this kind of statistics to the management, I think that's where they would start to take things a little bit more seriously, you know, into trying to see what can be done to further to not have this impacting their financials so much.
Jingjing, your thoughts on this, especially as an organization, you know, you're coming from a different perspective.
Yeah, I think, sure, it is definitely good to do a groundwork, you know, but at the same time, because the stigma is still very strong in Asia. So if you ask them, do you want to see a counselor to, you know, work on to see a mental health issue? I would foresee most people would reply saying no, because in their mind would think that because I don't need help, right? People think that I'm strong enough, I don't need help. So the way we approach this is that we actually tell our employees that you have this opportunity. If you want to take, if you want to take advantage of it, go for it. If you don't, that's fine. So we didn't really run any surveys because we know that there are a lot of problems because of COVID, because they do talk to us. So we basically provided this opportunity. And when one employee really benefit from this, they will spread the word for us. Then we see more and more people signing on. Yeah.
All right. And but what value does something like that bring to your company?
Yeah. So first of all, it's employees' motivation level. So after we worked with Liana's organization for, I think, 2-3 months, we saw that our employees are much more motivated to get things done. That's the first thing. Second thing is that we saw them benefiting personally from the program, not just because during some of them share that during the session, they don't just talk about work-related things. A lot of them actually start chatting about their personal life, for example, talking about divorcing process. So they benefit this personally. And then lastly, we see this also help us with employee retention, because now they have a safe place to talk about their issues. And this is something that they have never experienced before. So they really, really appreciate it. In terms of self-awareness, you know, when we see them doing their personal reviews on the self-reflection, nowadays the self-reflection is quite close with their peer reviews compared with what we had before. So, mainly these four areas.
All right. We'll go for a quick break now. I'm speaking to Liana Mohammad Nawi, Clinical Psychologist and Director of Professional Services at Thrive Well, as well as Zhong Jingjing, Managing Director from HelpLink Singapore. We're discussing workplace mental health and how there really are no quick fixes when it comes to helping your employees manage or address mental health issues. And really, what workplace conditions do we need to look at that would put employees at higher risk of mental health issues, something we'll come back and explore, as well as what is an employee assistance program as well. Do call us if you have questions or your own thoughts that you'd like to share. 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Shao-Ik. My guests are on Zoom with me. They are Liana Mohammad Nawi, clinical psychologist and director of professional services at Thrive Well, and Zhong Jingjing, managing director from HelpLink Singapore. HelpLink Singapore is actually a platform providing home services. They have an office here in KL that deals with customer service. So Jingjing is here to share, from the perspective of what the employees in KL experience in terms of their mental well-being, what mental health issues they need support for, and also how HelpLink as an employer, as an organization, is helping to provide that support. And I guess, you know, we want to see where there may be some gaps that other employers can take note of. But Liana, what kind of workplace conditions increase the risk of, you know, we know stress is part and parcel of working life, but when it gets to be unmanageable levels, and then it leads to the kind of burnout, depression or anxiety that you've talked about, what kinds of workplace conditions do we need to look at and really maybe get management to take a look at putting a stop to?
I think some of the common ones would be, you know, sometimes there could be this lack of poor communication, even between the departments themselves. There's also some companies may also have like lower levels of support for the employees. There are some who are still, you know, still not able to adapt to, you know, adopt flexible working hours. There are also conditions such as, you know, sometimes tasks get, you know, very unclear. There are also sometimes unsuitable tasks for the person's competencies. And as well as, you know, there are also certain work conditions where, you know, again, like I shared earlier, you know, where bullying or harassment happens or even ostracization. So these are actually some workplace conditions that can put employees at high risk. So, for example, you know, when bullying and harassment happen, sometimes employees are a bit scared and do not know where to go. So I think, you know, this is something which probably, you know, management can do a bit more, you know, like awareness on saying, like, you know, if these things happen, you know, then maybe there are, you know, avenues that you can go to, you know, within the company, for example.
Jingjing, I just want to get an idea of whether HelpLink sort of went through that kind of evolution. You know, were some of these workplace conditions something that you saw in your own organization?
Yeah, when I first joined HelpLink, we had quite a few people in the team, and then the team culture was quite toxic. Mainly, you know, people would just take a lot of MCs, so the peer would have to take over their workload on that day and getting swamped by the double work. And then secondly, also people have their different groups, and then each group have their own leader. So like Liana mentioned, that there's a lot of bullying happening. So you know, that kind of culture that we saw before, so we start to work on it, and it really highly discourages this kind of culture because we understand this kind of thing that really stress people out.
So Jingjing, is that something that your company addressed from a HR perspective first, strictly, rather than from a mental health perspective?
Correct. HR perspective first. We put in place a zero tolerance in gossip rules in place. So the moment we heard someone gossiping about each other in the back of their peers, they will receive verbal warning first. Then they will receive written warning. So we have a whole kind of program to prevent this kind of thing from happening. And then obviously, ultimately, if they breach this many times, then that leads to termination. We did work really hard on this from the HR perspective.
All right. Did that help a policy like that, for instance?
Absolutely. You slowly realize that other than those leaders, the rest of people, they don't want to gossip anymore. because they also understood that they don't want to take part of this, they don't want to get in trouble, then leaders slowly find this job boring because there's no one else that they can bully. And no one's on their side anymore. And then it turns out they all left voluntarily. And then so slowly our culture has shifted from a very toxic environment to a positive and encouraging environment in a very short period of time, actually.
Zero tolerance for gossip. I believe that's the first time I've heard of it being implemented in a company. That's amazing. Liana, so, you know, before we get to looking at what an employee assistance program looks like, maybe you can shed some light on what companies have tried to do on their own in terms of addressing mental health issues or providing some form of support, and how those may or may not have worked.
Right. Okay, so I think the most common one that companies are providing are actually talks and webinars. However, we need to know, I mean, it's a good, it's a definitely a good way, you know, to share with everyone that, you know, if you're having mental health issues, you know, these are certain things that you can do, how do you recognize mental health symptoms and stuff like that. However, talks and webinars are, you know, normally conducted maybe like once a month or even once a year. So it's not a very continuous kind of thing. So I think, you know, if let's say you just provide talks and webinars, it kind of doesn't really address the root cause at the end of the day. So I think that's where some employees went to the next step, even before employee assistance program. So they kind of looked into their policies, especially the staff benefits. So some companies lately we've been seeing actually, they tried to incorporate some, you know, an allocation under the employees' wellness benefits for them to go out and actually seek mental health services. So I think that's a good start. However, if it just stops at talks and webinars, I think that's quite kind of a short-term intervention, I would say. And again, like I said, it might not be able to, you know, address the root cause.
Yeah, and we do have a listener who's WhatsApped in to say, you can put up a lot of webinars and talks, but the employer, the management has to recognize the employee's grievances and not just close their eye to what's happening with their employees. So then where do we take it from there, Liana? That's really just dipping your toe into the water, you know, some sort of awareness talks. And then you talk about employee benefits for staff to perhaps seek therapy or counseling. I presume that's the sort of, where can employers take it further from there?
Right. So I think this is where employee assistance program would actually be much more beneficial, I would say, to address long-term. But of course, then people would say like, hey, how am I going to, you know, access these kind of services? Actually, in Malaysia, there are quite a number of EAP providers, or we call them vendors. So what companies can do is, you know, for a start, maybe, I mean, you know, if you might want to know more on what EAP is, you know, you can just get in touch with any of the EAP vendors, have that exploratory meeting, you know, ask questions as much as you want. And, you know, and at the end of the day, you know, a decision can definitely be made. So, yeah, I think that would be the companies really need to take that first step, you know, into finding the right resources for them, you know, to be able to gain more understanding on what EAP is.
But what does EAP look like when it's implemented in a company?
Okay, so technically, when EAP is implemented, there needs to be, you know, certain things or certain essential components, you know, that needs to be provided. So we call them, so the International EAP Association or the EAPA has this thing called the EAP Core Technologies. So one of it is it needs, so this EAP needs to ensure that they are helping to address the work organization productivity issues, as well as the client's personal issues as well, which may be affecting job performance. Then other than that, there's also things that could assist the organization on how to manage troubled employees, for example, you know, how to help assist to enhance the work environment. And then they also kind of need to actively promote the AAP service within the company so that the employees feel more comfortable to take up this service. Because we've seen, you know, take-up rates can be a bit low, you know, especially even though the employers are providing this service. However, I think this can be further increased by having active rollouts from time to time.
So Jingjing, perhaps your perspective, and to help me better understand how EAP works in a work environment, you know, things like the assistance provided to employees and all that, how do your employee, who can they talk to? Who do they get to reach out to?
Obviously, Liana's team. So before...
Are they like, you know, on call 24-7, that kind of thing?
No. Before Liana's team came in, it's mainly our team lead. So she's very close to everyone. But at the same time, when your team... So it's sustainable if your team stays within five people. But when you have a team now growing to, you know, two digits, like higher two digits, team lead can't possibly listening to everyone's story. So that's when we realized that we need someone professional to help us out. Yeah.
All right. Yes, Liana?
Yeah. Just to add on to that, there are some, I mean, so EAP services can be customized in a way. So for example, let's say huge organizations, they might request for, like you said, they might request for a 24/7 hotline. Yep. So that is a service which the EAP can provide as well. However, some smaller companies, maybe like Helpling, they would rather like focus more on the counseling part of it, of the employees. Yep. So EAP services can also be customized based on the company's needs as well.
All right. Okay. So help me understand better. I guess at the first level, it could be sitting down with the company to look at what kinds of environment or work processes they have in place, what are the problems there, and to sort of look at where things can be fixed.
Yeah.
And then for individual employees, you know, who need further support, counseling, therapy, there is the option of having a professional healthcare support team that employees can reach out to.
Yes, that's about right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, of course, a big question companies must ask you: how much do they have to pay for this? And what, like, what kind of investment does it look like for them? Right? Is it a one-off consultation thing where your team comes in, looks, advises, recommends, or does it have to be something sustained?
I would say a long term would be better. So what that means is that so let's just take the process like from start. I would say, so like you said, we come in and do that initial consultation with them. We try to customize based on their needs, and then so we then followed up with then possibly there might need to be a, like I said, a needs assessment, conducting a survey to see, you know, whether the employees are ready or whether this service is needed. And then only, you know, okay, if we kind of can gauge like the employees are ready to take up the service, then we will roll out the program. So these rollouts are normally, we try and conduct in, so for huge companies, for example, we try and conduct on two levels. So the first level would be the managers and above. This is, you know, to you know, kind of educate them and say like, hey, you know, you need to, this is, you know, you need to understand that, you know, your staff might be going through some issues. So since our company is providing this service, then you should allow, you know, your employees to access them. And then there will be the general rollout, which is to everyone, to say like, okay, if you want to seek these services, then you can give this number a call or you can email and stuff like that. And then, so the sessions are not, so normally it's not just a one-off kind of counseling session. So typically on average, the employers would, you know, bear about, you know, eligibility of maybe five sessions per employee per year, right? And also it depends. So even if, let's say, the employees exhaust all five, but if, you know, the condition is a bit more severe, so as an EAP, we can actually kind of, you know, seek a bit approval from the HR to say like, hey, can we extend these sessions for the employees? Or We have to also make a professional and clinical judgment, you know, to do a necessary referral to other parties if needed.
All right.
You know? Yeah.
Jingjing, how did you convince, you know, your management that this is a necessary expense to invest in?
Yeah, because we used to have office expense for food and then, you know, pantries. So now we have that budget still there. So I was thinking how we could allocate it better. We could either send more food to customers, more food to our employees' house, or use it in a much better way. While a lot of employees told me that working from home actually helped them to save a lot of money, because now they, instead of buying food, they just cook. So they don't need any more food. So, and then I personally benefit a lot from mental health program that I privately engaged. So I thought maybe it will be a good idea to do this. So I first asked the team lead to try, and she really enjoyed it. And she thinks that this will really benefit the team. And that's when we start looking for a professional organization to, you know, engage them.
That's interesting. The budget for food can cover the budget for an employee assistance program. See, it may not cost as much as you think, you know, to anyone who's listening in, who's an employer, you know, who's management in an organization. I'm speaking to Liana Mohammad Nawi, clinical psychologist and director of professional services at Thrive Well, and Zhong Jingjing, managing director of HelpLink Singapore. We are discussing workplace mental health. If you have any questions or your own thoughts you'd like to share about this issue, call us at 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after the market update to wrap up this discussion and to look at challenges, Jingjing. What were challenges when it came to rolling it out and getting employees to come on board as well? We'll be right back, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiaoyi. My guests for the Mind Matters segment today are Liana Mohammad Nawi, clinical psychologist and director of professional services at Thrive Well, where she works with organizations to help them address employees' mental health issues, primarily by setting up employee assistance programs. My other guest, Zhong Jingjing, managing director of HelpLink Singapore, who's been sharing her company's perspective of what kinds of mental health struggles their employees were going through, and how HelpLink as an organization has helped to address those issues. You know, I'm interested, Jingjing, you said that there were issues related to personal problems that some of your employees were going through, something that Liana said she's been seeing as well. Now, how would or how has an employee assistance program in your organization helped to deal with issues like that? Because you can't go and fix your employees' personal problems, whether it be relationship or family or health issues.
First of all, I don't know how exactly they fix it because they never told me, and then I never sit into a single session. But from an employer's perspective, what I see is that my employees are happier. So I know that they've fixed it.
You can see an impact, yeah. Maybe, Liana, yes, you could walk us through, you know, how the professional support team would help employees in those areas.
Yeah. So sometimes during the sessions, you know, we would conduct maybe certain skills-based, you know, to help them go through whatever is it they need to go through. So, for example, you know, sometimes they might need things like, you know, how to communicate better, for example, even with relationships. So we teach them, you know, skills on how to be more assertive and things like that. But again, as I said, you know, sometimes when things are a bit more too severe and would require actually longer sessions, that is where our professional and clinical judgment comes in, and the referral to other parties would be necessary. So that is how we kind of help them and guide them, you know, on how to seek services to better their mental health.
All right. So Jingjing, any challenges that you faced in terms of rolling out the EAP?
Absolutely, because we are the one who's paying for the service. So a lot of employees initially, they thought that this is a one way for us to kind of get into their head, trying to manipulate them or trying to know their deepest secret. So initially we have employees, you know, even if we told them, we would never be informed what's been discussed during the session, they still have this doubt. So it took, I would say, at least 2-3 sessions for some employees to really came to me and say that, yes, it's helpful. And we also obviously have a few employees when the moment they walk in, they just said that, I don't want to discuss this. I don't want to do this. And obviously when we try to help them out, and if someone don't want to get helped, there's nothing much we can do. So as an employer, I think the max we could do is to offer this opportunity. And then it really depends on the employee whether they would like to take up this chance.
So is there some range that you can give in terms of take up rate by your employees?
Yes. So I think right now, I was just looking at the stats. I think about 70 to 80% have completed the initial pilot program. So from the beginning to the end. Some of them dropped out middle of the program. Some of them decided not to start at all. I would say, 70 to 80%.
Mm. But is that something that you can only, if I were an employee in your organization, I can only join the pilot program when it's kicked off? Or is it something, you know, as and when I have a need, I can avail myself of the services?
Yeah. If someone's keen to join, they can always talk to us. So we did give everyone a choice, so we did have a management meetup with Liana's team. We did ask them, you know, is any particular employee that you think that they should be included in more services, or, you know, like some employees you think they probably don't need help. And then so the recommendation was we should talk to them. And then try to ask them, what do they think? And then because we offer them an hour and a half, and some employees, they really don't have any issues. So the conversation basically ends at the 30 minutes. Then this puts a lot of pressure on the counselor because they have to continue digging while the other party doesn't have any stories to share. And if that happens, we would like to utilize this time to someone who needs extra help. Who are going through a tough time. So we did chat with them one by one and to see what they actually think. And some people, they up in for more. Some people decided that I'm all good.
Yeah. I can see where, you know, that would put some people off where, you know, if I know that at some level I'm sort of being assessed in terms of whether I need assistance or not. Liana, how do you view something like this, and how do you address employees' concerns about confidentiality?
Yeah, that's definitely a good point, Xiaoyi, and I think it's one of the main things that is also things that we do try to address every single time we provide this service. So in terms of confidentiality, it's normally done in, call it maybe two ways or two stages, I would say. So one is during that's why I can't stress this enough, a rollout session is very, very important because this rollout session will, you know, tell you what the program is like. Outline the importance of confidentiality and stuff like that. As well as, so let's say an employee, you know, they feel comfortable to try out the session. So they register for the session, and we do see employees, utilizing the first session to more on, you know, addressing confidentiality. So we do place a very, very high importance on confidentiality and saying that, you know, whatever is being discussed is just between you and me. Employers that do not have any right on what is being discussed in the session. So I think once they feel a bit more comfortable, you know, that they are whatever that they're going to discuss is just within the four walls, or even within within online or stuff like that, they will be a bit more willing to share what's going on with them.
All right. Have you had organizations that try to push you and ask you to identify employees who are facing issues?
We do, but at the same time, I think this is also where the psychoeducation towards the employers is also very important. So we also educate both sides, the employer as well as the employee, on the importance of confidentiality.
All right. Any other operational hurdles that you came across, Jingjing, when rolling out the pilot program?
Probably scheduling, I would say. Some employees, they prefer to have this kind of counseling sessions after work because they don't want anything to influence their work quality, while some employees feel like, oh, if there's a company benefit, then why don't we do it during the work hour? So obviously, because it's a benefit, so either way, we try to accommodate this. I guess it's scheduling.
All right. That's very, very practical, actually. Liana, just very briefly, earlier you talked about companies that are putting in place mental health support as an employee benefit. That's sort of something that's, I guess, easy for companies to ease into. Or perhaps even providing coverage, right, insurance coverage that covers mental health services. If companies want to stick to just providing that, how would you convince them that an employee assistance program can go above and beyond, has an advantage for them?
Yeah, so I think, so the similarities between the two is, of course, for the employees to be able to get mental health services such as counseling and whatnot. But I think what EAP can do more than that is, you know, we can also provide, like, for example, our subject, expert opinion. If, let's say, you know, on certain policies that maybe the company might want to enhance, for example, relating to mental health. So if we are engaged as the EAP provider, then, you know, we can also provide our expert opinion on that as well. We can also help them, again, like, because when we do like the survey, for example, you know, we can also do a what we call a pre and post assessment on the employees' conditions, you know, so that the employees themselves can know that, my employees' conditions are improving. And then maybe we could also provide some other recommendations that the company can do to even further enhance the company's mental well-being. So, I would say that is the additional things that EAP providers can do as compared to just, you know, providing an insurance benefit or medical benefit to the employees.
All right. A final word, a brief one from each of you. What should employers do right now to provide a conducive work environment for their employees to thrive in? So not just when mental health issues crop up, but, you know, on a daily basis, just an environment where your employees are, you know, as you said, Jingjing, happy working in. Perhaps we can start with you, Jingjing.
Yeah, I think the most important thing is to make them feel like they're being supported by their employer. I find it extremely important. The moment that the employee knows that they have a safety net, regardless what mistakes that they make, the first thing we do is asking them, how are you feeling? Instead of pointing the finger at them, asking them, why did you make this mistake? I think if we change, then they will feel more inclusive as a team instead of being, identified as the criminal of the organization. Mm. Yeah.
Or a troublemaker.
Exactly.
Liana, your thoughts?
Just to add on to Jingjing, I think some other things which would make a bit more, you know, a very more conducive environment to probably have regular check-ins between, you know, like, for example, managers and their staff, you know, have some regular check-ins. Create a more comfortable work environment. And also, I think one of the most important things is to also encourage better communication. Because, you know, I think communication is such an important tool, you know, so that, each other, you know, we know what's going on within with each other. So, yeah, that would be my advice on this. Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much. I've been speaking to Liana Mohammad Nawi, clinical psychologist, as well as director of professional services at Thrive Well, and also Dong Jingjing, managing director of HelpLink Singapore. This has been the Mind Matters segment on Health and Living, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.